of adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by Mary Poppincorn. Practically perfect in every way.
To all who have come to this podcast, welcome. You're listening to the Spirit Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And we have new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, so why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast from. Simply search for the Obscure Disney Podcast or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
Let's break the internet.
Let's break the internet at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
Product placement.
JK, y'all, but that would be pretty fun.
That would be fun.
Right? So, yeah, given that we just saw Ralph Breaks the Internet.
We did.
We totally did, and he did break it.
He broke it.
They did not lie.
He done broke it. You can't sue him for false advertising.
How much did you love the movie?
Well, that's funny. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Good.
I did not think it was as good as the first one, though.
Interesting.
Which is interesting because it's one of the few movies you've actually seen. Mm-hmm. You saw Wreck-It
mm-hmm.
Ralph.
Mm-hmm. I did.
We liked that show a lot.
Absolutely.
It was super clever, super fun.
Yeah.
This follow-up, by the way, spoilers. Lots of spoilers in this review, I assume. The follow-up is still super fun. But I feel like story-wise, it's not nearly as strong as the original.
Yeah. Well, they were able to kind of get us a little bit with the first one because it was a completely brand new, unique concept. And it was right. A throwback vibe and lots of other things. So all of the uniqueness of it, all of the play on games and all of that was really fun to see in a movie.
Right.
And I think it was even before the Lego shows all came out and stuff too.
I think so.
So it was kind of like what I think was like kind of like our first forte into it. And we're like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
It was such a unique idea. This one obviously is based off of that one. So you automatically, it can't be a unique idea because we've already seen it.
Right. I mean, the idea is one thing, but the story that propelled us through the first movie was super strong. And the ideas
that is true.
Were very thoroughly worked out. Whereas this one is very light on story and more heavy on what Disney would call the gags.
Oh, yeah.
There's, like, little funny things happening all the time.
Yeah, and the gags had me going. LOLing out loud.
You were LOLing?
Out loud.
Laughing out loud, out loud?
Out loud.
That's really loud.
It really was, actually. You know, for the majority of it, it was like, stop getting... Like, it was like, every couple of seconds it was getting me.
Oh, but good. That's always fun.
Of course I found it. You know, I thought it was fun.
Yeah. So the second movie kind of picks up 6 years after the end of the first one. They're living happily in their game world that we know. And then disaster strikes Sugar Rush.
Yep.
And they are forced to jump onto the internet to try to save Vanellope's game.
Yeah.
It's a good setup for a story, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
But like I said, once they get on the internet, it's very much just kind of joke, like through the whole thing. And it's not a bad thing because it's still super fun to watch.
Yeah.
And it's clever. Unlike some other movies have done like the go into the internet kind of thing, and the jokes are really tired and kind of stupid, you know?
Yeah.
So it was really fun to watch them do the internet jokes and things.
Oh, absolutely. I thought so for sure. You noticed this pretty much immediately, right? How great the graphics were.
Ugh, it looks so good.
Like, from the moment they were plugging in video games, I was like, that looks so awesome.
Right? And like, the expressions they're able to get on their characters, they're so thorough.
Yeah.
Like, there's a moment where, like, I feel like Ralph goes through an entire face journey. Like, It's so complete, and their reactions and their body language is so not computer animated looking that it's just impressive.
So impressive. You know? Incredibly good.
Yeah.
So good.
So they get into the internet, manage to find their way over to eBay.
E-boy.
And try to buy this part to fix Vanellope's game. They don't know how it works and end up bidding like, what is it, $27,000?
Yeah. This thing. So funny.
So the whole, basically the conceit of the movie is them running around the internet trying to make money to pay for this part for Vanellope's game. And they just run all over the internet breaking things, I guess.
So funny.
But it's a really fun, interesting concept.
Well, and I love Sarah Silverman. I think I do. Like, I love her, and she's super fun to like, a lot of her jokes and stuff are pretty, like, I find her very entertaining.
Uh-huh.
Other times I watch her stand-up, I was like, oh boy, this is quite...
Yeah, her as Vanellope is really likable.
For some reason, it just totally works, right? Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing with me and John C. Reilly, who plays Ralph.
Right.
I don't love a lot of his movies, but as Ralph, I love him as Ralph.
And it's funny, too, because a lot of times when you see characters that play animated characters, you see them. So, like, with Kristen Bell and... Right, I totally got that. No, that's right. Kristen Bell and Idina Menzel, when you see them off stage, right, on stage together,
right,
you're like, oh, that just looks so natural. But when you see Sarah Silverman and John C. Reilly together on stage, you're like... Doesn't
weird look
meetup. So natural. And then you throw Gal Gadot on top of that, and you're just like,
right.
And now Taraji, listen. Yeah. Listen here.
It's a fun cast of people that are obviously having a great time.
Yeah.
And then obviously the story people had a great time making jokes about the internet to flesh out everything.
Right.
It's obvious that people had a good time making this movie.
Yeah, and we get to see Ralph do the floss dance, which is totally worth the price of admission alone.
Right, and the screaming goat, and a bee pun. Like, that's true. The weird, like, a way for them to make money is basically kind of a YouTube-y kind of thing, where he makes viral videos and makes money off people liking his videos. So he's just doing all sorts of randomness to try to get people to like his videos.
Yeah.
It goes to show that the friendship that they forged, Ralph is willing to do absolutely anything to help her out, which I really appreciate as a character. Like, it shows his passion for the situation. I find Vanellope a little bit less likable in this movie because she seems very ungrateful
for
a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And so that gets a little bit uncomfortable for me.
Yeah. But,
I mean, you have to have a character arc somewhere, right? That's the point.
Apparently you do. But it was sad because they do go to the new ride, the new game, right? Slaughter Race. Yeah. And in some ways, you kind of feel like, oh, yeah, that does seem more Vanellope-esque, you know, right?
You think so?
Well, but no. they
managed to find their way onto like a Grand Theft Auto type game where you can like free roam around the city and blow things up and whatever. Right. And Vanellope was, you know, complaining that her game was a little bit too predictable. So this is obviously a very exciting change for her.
Yeah, and we love Sugar Rush so much that you've made shirts about Sugar Rush that we've worn to the parks.
Exactly.
Made us all into Sugar Rush racer characters.
I love Sugar Rush.
So much fun.
And I'm so mad that she doesn't love it.
Right. We wanted to completely change Autopia into the Sugar Rush game.
Exactly.
And so, exactly. I guess you could do the, super killer game. What's it called?
You want to do Slaughter Race in Disneyland? That's not going to work.
I guess you could. I guess you could do it.
Parents will not let their children on no Slaughter Race car ride.
Can you imagine?
I was also noticing, though, that Fix-It Felix and Calhoun play a very minimal part in this movie.
Oh, true.
Whereas they were almost an entire B-plot of their own in the first movie.
Oh, yeah.
They
drove a lot of that storyline.
They did. Movie. They basically just kind of have a few moments in this one because they do end up pulling the plug on Sugar Rush, so we know from the first movie all the characters have to get out of the game, and they have to find new places for them to live. And so basically Felix and Calhoun just decide to adopt all the racers as children. It's a weird, like, almost D-plot. Like, it's, like, in the very, very background.
Right.
But they do have my favorite thing in the first movie is Taffeta, when she crashes and starts crying. It's my favorite thing.
That is a...
And she does it multiple times in the second movie, so I was very satisfied with that. And then I did really like, also, once they get onto the internet, they do pop-up ads on them.
How relatable is all of that?
It's so funny. And then the one, he pops up on the lady, and the ad blocker knocks him off. And, like, marches her off. Do you remember this?
Yes, of course.
It's so funny. And this is what I'm talking about. Like, the little internet puns and...
Oh, yeah.
Little wink, wink, nudge, nudge to the audience stuff is extra funny.
Right.
Because we've all been there.
Yeah, it's good to know that everybody feels the same way about the internet as I do. Because it was very relatable, you know?
Right.
Especially when they start talking about the don't go to the comments section.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like, oh, don't read the comments. You're like, I know that first. Yeah, mm-hmm.
So they're trying to get people to watch the videos, and Vanellope decides that she's going to be a pop-up and go out and try to get people to watch the videos. And they end up sending her to Oh My Disney website.
Right.
And this is...
I should go there right now, actually. Keep talking.
It's so meta and so self-referential, and they're making fun of themselves this entire sequence. It's just fun to watch.
That is true. All of the Disney jokes. So definitely, we got to talk about the princesses, right?
Right.
Everybody knows that this already is
the standout scene of the entire movie, is Vanellope, while running away from stormtroopers on Oh My Disney, ends up in a room with all of the Disney princesses.
Yeah.
And
hilarious.
They play them as normal people who are very aware that they are princesses in weird situations.
Right.
And it just makes the whole movie, honestly. Like, I think it's just hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
And they're trying to quiz her to see if she's a real princess, and then they finally figure out that she is. And then they're all confused by her very casual clothes, and then Cinderella just gets her mice to whip up everybody a bunch of casual wear, and I love the casual wear that they put the princesses in.
Yes,
because Sleeping Beauty's wearing a t-shirt that says Nap Queen. Like, it's just, it's so stupid and so funny.
I want the Nap Queen shirt. Awesome.
And then, like, they gave Ariel all the good lines, because she's like, I never thought I would wear a, what do you call it? Oh, shirt. It's just like, it's so funny that Disney can poke fun at their princesses.
And for the first time.
For the first time,
yeah, really. It's the first time we've ever really seen it.
I mean, they kind of did it in Enchanted.
Yeah.
When they're like making fun of the princess tropes.
But this is
the first time that a legitimate group, like all the Disney princesses, are together making fun of the fact that they're Disney princesses.
And you said that pretty much all but one of the living princesses did their own voices for it, right?
Yeah, all the princesses came back to do their voices. I mean, even like Jodie Benson did Ariel's voice originally, and she came back and did Ariel's voice for this.
That's so awesome.
The only one that's still alive that didn't do it was the voice of Aurora, because she's very old and probably couldn't pull off playing a 16-year-old girl, you know.
It just neither can vocally I. I know how she feels.
Well, not with that attitude. So she probably just was a little bit like too old for that, unfortunately, but it's so fun. Such a fun scene. If they would have made the whole movie about Vanellope and the princesses, I would have liked it even more.
Seriously true.
Super good.
Yeah. I mean, they got a little bit of flack early on with the princess scene. They didn't think that Tiana was portrayed properly. Apparently, they fixed it because in the movie it looked great. I was happy.
Well, this is the problem with Disney and their
princesses. All of the princesses looked a little bit different, though, right?
Well, here's a fun thing that I read. So originally, when they were making this movie, they were going to go into a game that was the Disney Infinity game. And if anyone has played it, it's the ones where you get the little plastic figurines and
set them on
the thing. So all of the characters are designed around that aesthetic.
Okay.
So they kind of look like that.
So this must have been before Disney Infinity went under.
Exactly. So right before they were working on this before that, and then when Disney Infinity shut down, they switched it to Oh My Disney, but they didn't redesign all the characters again.
Yeah, they would have had basically start over. Oh, right. That's very interesting.
Yeah. So Tiana, Disney always gets in trouble when they redesign their princesses.
Yeah.
Because they tend to make them a little too sexy. They kind of lose focus on what the character is often about. Like with Mulan, they gave her like a really like girly dress thing. And everybody's like, she's a warrior. She's a tough lady. Why would you put her in this ridiculous gown? And why would you make her look less Asian? She's literally from China, you know? And I think they had the same problem with Tiana, is they kind of made her too light skinned and made her look a little bit too white, for lack of a better term, you know? And so they had to go back in and, like,
fix that up a little bit.
Because the woman that plays her, they based a lot of it off of her face. Okay. So she went in and they kind of readjusted and made sure that she looked like her, you know.
So I hope by now that if you're listening to this, you've already seen the movie, because I love this next line when they're talking about Merida.
Poor Merida. Merida has one line. And it's a garbled mess of a heavy Scottish accent. And everyone just looks at her. And Penelope goes, what did she just say? And they're like, oh, we don't know. She's from the other studio. Oh, poor Merida.
Fantastic.
It's so meta. Like, it's the best.
We're totally going to buy the movie just to like go through all of that part of the movie over and over and
I'll
over again.
I'll put that on a shirt. Because I'll put Merida's one line on the shirt, because that would be hilarious.
Yeah, like the whole princess collection of shirts. Like, I want all of them.
It's
all
I of don't them know why fantastic. Disney's not selling them.
They might. I went to ohmy.disney, apparently, is where it takes you, and I can't tell what they're selling on that website, so I just closed it.
Okay, well, let's not get any viruses in the right? middle of a podcast.
Could you imagine? It would be like literally living out the episode. But then it gets to the part that I'm not as much of a fan, and it's like that dark moment when Ralph then gets upset and they make
feels
him
betrayed,
he becomes a virus, and something I don't know, I tune out, I don't really pay attention to the dark scenes, don't like
them. They come to the climax, and my issue with it was that it was so literal. Yeah. Like the first movie, they were dealing with emotional things. Ralph was tired of being labeled a bad guy and ostracized, and she was tired of being a glitch and ostracized, so they could, you know, kind of commiserate together. This movie is more about Ralph not wanting to let Penelope leave. He I guess that's kind of what it is, almost like a parental thing, like a kid going off to college type syndrome, empty nester syndrome.
Yeah, it was built. It was an unhealthy relationship,
right?
He had with her,
and
but they manifest in such a way.
They literally personify his insecurity.
Yeah,
literally, and it rampages and breaks the internet. Is the idea. And I thought it was a little too on the nose, a little too literal, a little less subtle than it probably could have been.
And I had the same problem with Big Hero 6 when they did that to Baymax, when he went through his dark scene, he had put on the red suit and everything. I was like, I'm out. I was having so much fun with this movie.
Yeah.
And then you go to this like dark part of it and stuff, and I just think,
you don't like the dark part.
But I wonder if it's because that they are trying to attract the boy audience, the little boys, you know, because Disney has such a reputation for girls.
Sure.
That they do try to do other things that will bring, and so that might be that, like, you know, little boy kids might enjoy it a lot more than I do, because I don't.
Well, we were just discussing this the other day too, is that all the female protagonists always get the power ballads. Very rarely does the male protagonist ever get a power ballad.
Mm-hmm.
We have like Quasimodo and Hercules that get power ballads.
Right.
But in this movie, the princesses teach Vanellope how to access her I Want song. And it turns into a weird duet between Sarah Silverman and Gal Gadot.
Oh, it's so good.
Frolicking through tear gas. Like, it is the weirdest.
It's pretty... Yeah, it is.
Once again, Disney making fun of themselves. Mm-hmm. Totally works.
Absolutely.
Super funny.
Totally did.
So, you know, super spoilers, but the end of the movie ends up being Ralph being like, okay, I can let her go. She can go and do her own thing because Vanellope decides that she wants to stay in Slaughter Race instead of going back to her game. And I have major issues with this ending.
Yeah.
Like people aren't just going to notice that Princess Vanellope von Schweetz is no longer in Sugar Rush. That's kind of weird.
And the stylization that her character to be in that game totally wouldn't fit.
In the Slaughter Race game doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And at the end, they just say, oh, they added my code to the game, so now I can't die in that game, you know, or whatever. And I was like, that's a little bit of an easy fix, isn't it?
Yeah, it must be that they were running over budget and they just had to like rewrite real quick to like make it, who knows?
I totally thought, here's my solution, Disney. I totally thought that they were going to go online and find out that there was a way for them to either download new tracks to her cabinet game, or they were going to find a website where people were allowed to build their own tracks and they could race on there so that it wouldn't be boring for them anymore and they could all go live online in this racing game or whatever. I thought that was kind of where they were going to go with it, but literally...
Taking her out of her own game.
It's just Vanellope leaves.
Right.
Which is like a weird ending.
It's kind of weird.
For everything that Ralph did, for her to be like, I don't wanna. It's like, oh, it's a little ungrateful.
Yeah.
You know?
Kind of wrapped it up, but not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
Weird. Really, though, it's worth seeing for the jokes.
But.
It's worth seeing for the princesses.
What about the end credit scene? We haven't talked about it, but did you like it?
It was weird.
I thought it was.
So, literally, you know, I'm not usually a fan of end credit scenes. I think they're
especially
dumb.
When the credits go on for 17 minutes.
Ugh.
Is that what you said it literally was?
But so in the previews, there was a game that they were playing where you would feed the bunny the pancakes and the cat the milkshakes, and they showed them overfeeding the bunny, basically, or whatever. And we got all the way through the movie, and then it gets to the end credits scene where, for some reason, baby Moana is in the back seat of a car.
Yeah.
And she's like, how do you like the movie, baby Mo? And she's like, oh, I liked it okay, except there was a scene in the trailer that wasn't in the movie. And she's like, okay, well, play your game. Maybe that'll make you feel better. And it's the bunny kitty thing that's in the trailer.
Oh, funny.
And then... then they end up overfeeding the bunny, apparently. And then it cuts to the little girl holding her little iPad, and there's like an explosion on the screen, and she just screams.
Oh, like, it was fun.
Wow, that's
inappropriate.
It's totally inappropriate.
That's why you had to bury it in the credits.
Because it's
inappropriate.
But, I mean, if you're going in to see classic video game characters like in the first one, it's really not there for you. It's not going to work out, you know. But if you're going in to watch funny gags and jokes about the internet and, you know, maybe a couple of laughs here and there and then a couple feely things maybe, this is a totally watchable movie.
Yeah.
And I think it was a good time.
Yeah, I think it has an 86 on Rotten Tomatoes. I'd give it like a 95.
Oh,
I
up in the ante, giving it an A.
Sure. I'll give it that.
Yeah, I would say on a scale of 1 to 100, I would give it a high 90s. It was fun.
Perfect. See, we're there together.
There's a couple things that but, you know, it's totally worth watching.
For sure.
Good times.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's like I always say, I have to assume that you exchange your voice for a pair of human legs. You'll get it if you see the movie. But until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.